You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Wednesday, February 25, 2026. Turn Me Loose, How Canada Became the World's Number 4 Oil Producer. Published by Mike Dunn. Canadian crude oil production has once again reached new highs and is expected to continue growing. But, in an area where steep price discounts have been a frequent problem in the past, and in a world that is seemingly awash in crude at the moment, what does that mean for Canadian crude producers? And how will all this growing supply get to market? In today's RBN blog, the first of a series, we discuss the ongoing growth of Canadian crude supply. Canadian crude oil and condensate production has nearly doubled since 2010. Making Canada the world's fourth largest producer, trailing only the US, Russia, and Saudi Arabia. In fact, the province of Alberta on its own is the world's number 4 producer. Canadian production saw another year of growth in 2025, with November and December setting new highs at 5.6 million barrels per day. All but 4% of this production came from the Western Canadian Sedimentary Basin, or WCSB, where pipeline capacity constraints and steep price discounts have been a frequent problem for producers over the past couple of decades. Most production from the WCSB comes from the oil sands. Upgraded oil sands production was 1.3 million barrels per day last year, while non-upgraded oil sands bitumen from thermal or mining was 1.9 million barrels per day. Other WCSB heavy oil production was 0.7 million barrels per day. Conventional light-medium oil production was 0.6 million barrels per day, while WCSB condensate and pentanes production was nearly 0.6 million barrels per day. Production from eastern Canada, almost entirely from offshore Newfoundland, was 0.2 million barrels per day, while the 2024 startup of the Trans Mountain Expansion Project, or TMX, which increased the pipeline's capacity from 300,000 barrels per day to 890,000 barrels per day, improved Canadian crude price differentials. They have started to widen out again in recent months. Before we look at what might come next for the WCSB crude oil market, let's start with a review of the key drivers of Canadian growth to this point. Canadian crude and condensate production growth has been dominated by Alberta's oil sands region, where production has grown from 0.6 million barrels per day in 2000 to 3.5 million barrels per day in 2025. The remainder of Canadian production has seen only modest growth over this period, from 1.6 million barrels per day to 1.8 million barrels per day. While commercial production from Alberta's oil sands began in the 1960s, it was the decade of the 2000s that saw most of the groundwork laid for this growth. The mid-2000s saw a big jump in oil prices, as global demand grew while the oil market worried that global production would struggle to keep up with demand growth. Despite strong oil prices, U.S. crude oil production continued to decline before U.S. shale oil production took off. Alberta's oil sands, with its vast bitumen reserves, relatively investment-friendly jurisdiction, proximity and pipeline connections to the world's largest crude market south of its border, and recent advances in steam-assisted bitumen recovery from horizontal wells, attracted the investment interest of global supermajors and domestic producers alike, resulting in significant production growth over the past 25 years. While ExxonMobil had long had a presence in Canada's oil sands, the 2000s also saw the likes of Shell, Chevron, Marathon Oil, ConocoPhillips, BP, Devon Energy, Equinor, Statoil, and Total Energies step into the space and deploy significant capital to fund greenfield oil sands projects. The flurry of investment in Canada's oil sands resulted in mining and thermal bitumen production capacity additions averaging about 175,000 barrels per day annually from 2007 through 2018. Despite several years of lower oil prices following 2014, oil sands production capacity continued growing at a rapid clip until 2019. Since then, the rate of capacity expansion has slowed considerably. Projects typically take around 3 years from the start of construction to first production. In the 2000 to 2010 period, 12 of the 15 oil sands projects that added bitumen production capacity were greenfield, i.e., the first project at that site. However, in 2011 to 2018, only 10 of 29 projects that came online were greenfield, as brownfield expansions are typically cheaper to build, and from 2019 to 2025, all 18 of the capacity expansion projects brought online have been brownfield. Despite a much slower pace of capacity additions since 2018, production from Alberta's oil sands has grown by around 20%, or 600,000 barrels per day since then. By and large, This growth has been more capital efficient than prior growth, as operators have improved capacity utilization rates and found smaller, often under the radar, projects to enhance plant and well efficiencies. Another factor has been the synergies that operators have extracted between their legacy oil sands assets and those acquired from competitors that exited the area. Most foreign-headquartered oil companies have either exited the area entirely, BP, Chevron, Devon, Equinor, Marathon, Total, or significantly reduced their stakes, Shell, Conoco, selling their interests to incumbent domestic Canadian producers, primarily CNRL, Suncor and Cenovus, as they shifted their focus to opportunities in U.S. shale, LNG and or offshore plays like Guyana. Persistently low natural gas prices have also helped the cost competitiveness of oil sands, as most projects use around 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas for every barrel produced. While thermal and mining oil sands projects have been the biggest drivers of WCSB production growth, the second biggest driver has been from condensate and Pentanes Plus, whose output has grown from about 125,000 barrels per day in 2010 to about 590,000 barrels per day in 2025. Volumes from the prolific Montney Formation in northwestern Alberta and northeastern British Columbia have been out front, increasing by nearly 300,000 barrels per day from 2014 to 2025, while Montney raw gas production grew by 8 BCF per day. The Montney accounts for roughly two-thirds of WCSB condensate and Pentanes production, while the Duvernay provides nearly 20%. With the WCSB being short of diluent to blend with the tar like bitumen and extra heavy oil into a blend thin enough to flow on pipelines, condensate and Pentanes Plus are priced at a premium in the WCSB to attract diluent imports via pipeline from south of the border. WCSB natural gas drillers have often skewed their drilling programs to liquids-rich zones to benefit from strong condensate prices, especially when WCSB natural gas prices are weak, which feels like most of the time. Conventional heavy oil production has recovered strongly in recent years. After peaking at 785,000 barrels per day in 2014, weak prices beginning in late 2014 triggered a decline that lasted for several years. However, since output bottomed at 571,000 barrels per day in 2020, it has seen a resurgence, averaging 720,000 barrels per day in 2025. The Lower Cretaceous Mannville Spirit River Group accounts for essentially all of WCSB heavy oil production. The deployment of highly economic open-hole, multilateral well designs targeting the Clearwater Formation starting late last decade, and in more recent years also targeting other zones within the Mannville Stack, the Sparky, Waseca and other zones, has driven this growth. We should note that while all crude oil and bitumen production from Alberta's designated oil sands is reported as bitumen, we prefer to classify the production from that region that is not produced from mining or thermal stimulation as heavy oil, about 260,000 barrels per day of the WCSB's 720,000 barrels per day of heavy oil production in 2025. As these barrels are being recovered either by primary or water polymer flood means. Conventional light and medium oil production has grown modestly since 2010, from roughly 525,000 barrels per day to 590,000 barrels per day, albeit well off the 2014 peak of about 740,000 barrels per day. The major areas of growth in recent years include oil production from the Montney, from 10 to 90,000 barrels per day, the Duvernay, from 0 to 42,000 barrels per day, and Charlie Lake, from 2 to 42,000 barrels per day. Meanwhile, the Bakken Torquay Shale in Saskatchewan near the North Dakota border has seen its oil output drop from 77,000 barrels per day to 44,000 barrels per day over this period. Other plays such as the Cardium, 50,000 barrels per day, and Viking, 50,000 barrels per day, have grown since 2010 but have been on the decline in recent years. Production from Eastern Canada has been between 0.2 million barrels per day and 0.3 million barrels per day. Oil sands operators typically plan their scheduled maintenance downtime for the spring, mid-March through mid-June, and to a lesser extent early autumn, September to October. Operators want to avoid scheduling work in frigid winter weather, and labor availability is not great during the July-August summer holiday season. Figure 5 illustrates the typical seasonality of Alberta production in 2017 to 2024, excluding 2020 when the oil price crash saw price-driven production shut-ins. On average, Alberta production, green bars, has swung by around 500,000 barrels per day between the low month, May, and peak month, November. In 2025, this difference was over 800,000 barrels per day, thanks in part to some precautionary shut-ins due to spring forest fires in the region. Alberta was 88% of total WCSB production in 2025. While WCSB crude oil demand from refineries has seen impressive percentage growth since 2010, approximately 40%, it is still only around 600,000 barrels per day, so the vast majority of crude production growth in the basin has had to find a home outside of Western Canada. Unfortunately for Canadian oil producers, export pipeline capacity growth has historically struggled to keep up with production growth. In the next blog in this series, we'll look back at the growth of WCSB crude oil export capacity and how supply and egress capacity have impacted crude oil prices up to this point. Later in this series, we will discuss our outlook for growth in WCSB supply and pipeline egress, including how a Bridger pipeline proposal that would tie into the Canadian portion of the cancelled Keystone XL project might fit in. See Bring Me to Life. Turn Me Loose was written by Paul Dean and Mike Reno and appears as the second song on side one of Loverboy's eponymous debut studio album. The song is built around a bass riff and features crunchy guitar by Paul Dean and the plaintive vocals of Mike Reno. Released as the first single from the album in February 1981, it went to number 6 on the Billboard Pop Rock Tracks chart and number 35 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles. Personnel on the record were Mike Reno, lead vocals, Paul Dean, guitars, backing vocals, Scott Smith bass, Doug Johnson, keyboards, Matt Frenette, drums, and Nancy Nash and Katie Kassoon, backing vocals. The album, Loverboy, was recorded in 1979-80 at Little Mountain Sound in Vancouver and produced by Bruce Fairburn. Released in the U.S. in November 1980, it went to number 13 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. Loverboy is a Canadian hard rock band formed in Calgary, Alberta, in 1979. After opening shows for major rock acts in Canada, the group was signed to a record deal with Columbia Records Canada in 1979 and released their debut album, Loverboy, in the U.S. in November 1980. They have released 9 studio albums, 4 live albums, 16 compilation albums, and 29 singles and have sold more than 15 million records worldwide. 7 members have passed through the band since its formation. Bassist Scott Smith was presumed dead after a large wave swept him off his boat near San Francisco in November 2000 at 45. His body has never been recovered. Bassist Jim Clench died in November 2010 in Montreal at 61. After a hiatus from 1989 to 1991, Loverboy continues to tour and will be appearing at various venues in the U.S. beginning in June.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.